Today's daf is Psachim Daf Vav, and we are 19 lines from the bottom of Daf Hey Amid Beis, the two dots, Omar Mar. Today's daf's being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Sara Aliza and Avadya Ben Miriam Leah. Today's daf's also being learned Le'ilu Nishmas Avram Ben Yibadu L'chaim Toivim Reb Moshe Chaim. So at the end of yesterday's daf, before the raid bite, before the Minchas Chinuch mitzvah test, the Gemara brought a brisa, a rather long brisa, that we went through a little bit too quickly. So the first part of today's daf is going to discuss that brisa, and I think we have to recap the brisa, albeit bal peh, so that we can walk into today's daf. The topic is the mitzvah saseh of Tashbisu, and the two lavin of Bal Yeirah and Bal Yematzah. If you look carefully at the words of the Torah, when the Torah mentions the lav of Lo Yematzah, and the Torah mentions the lav of Lo Yerah, the Torah used different language. Shivas Yomim Sa'ar Lo Yematzah Bevateichem. For 7 days, Sa'ar, Chometz, cannot be found in your house. When the Torah talks about the lav of V'lo Yerah, the Torah says, Matzis Yeyachad L'Shivas Hayomim, V'lo Yerah L'cha Chometz, V'lo Yerah L'cha Sa'ar, B'chol Givu Lecha. And Chazal said that because the Torah used some subtleties as far as different language goes between the lava Bal Yerah and the lava Bal Yematzah, based on the Pshutei Shel Mikra, there would be conflicting mashmois in terms of when one is chayev for the lava Bal Yerah and when one is chayev for the lava Bal Yematzah. Number one, the word V'lo Yerah means that chametz cannot be seen. What would be if somebody has chametz in his house, but it's hidden? It's inside a ditch. You can't see it. It sounds like you wouldn't be over the lava of V'lo Yerah. Not just that, the Torah says V'lo Yerah L'cha. L'cha sounds like yours. And say Chazal, Shalcha iyataroya, based on that, it would seem that you can make the drasha. It's only your chametz that you're not allowed to have in your house. But Shalachayrim, if it's somebody else's chametz, maybe it would be okay. So from the language that the Torah used to introduce the lava of Aloyirah, two chidushim, two kulois. Number one, the isser is only V'lo Yerah, but if it's hidden, there wouldn't be an isser. Number two, it's l'cha, meaning shalcha. It's only your chametz that's going to be a problem. If it's somebody else's chametz, it's not going to be a problem. When the Torah talked about the lava V'lo Yematzeh, it doesn't say V'lo Yerah, obviously. It's the lava V'lo Yematzeh. It also doesn't say the word l'cha. However, the Torah uses a word in V'lo Yematzeh that it didn't use by the lava V'lo Yerah. And that is shivas yomim sar lo yematzeh bivatechem. And bivatechem sounds like the isser is only to have chametz in your house. What if it's not in my house? We just finished learning Masechtas Erevin. What if it's in my gag, my chatzer? What if it's in my karfif? What if it's somewhere in my possession, but it's not in my house? It would sound like, based on that, it wouldn't be a problem. Stating that, by the lava v'lo yirah, it says, v'lo yirah l'cha chametz, v'lo yirah l'cha sa'ar, b'chol givulecha. Givulecha is much broader. That would seem to suggest not only if it's in your house, but even if it's anywhere in your gvul. So says the Braiso, that based on the pasuk of v'lo yirah, you would think two miyutim. Number one, it's only us if you could see it, not if it's hidden. Number two, it's only us if it's your chametz, not if it's somebody else's chametz. Based on the lav of v'lo yimatzeh, you would think the only time it's a problem is if it's bivatechem, if it's in your house. But if it's not in your house, if it's somewhere else in your gvul, it wouldn't be a problem. Stating that, we have a hekesh between the lav of Bal Yerah and the lav of Bal Yematzah to teach me that whenever you chayef for Bal Yerah, you chayef for Bal Yematzah. And whenever you chayef for Bal Yematzah, you're going to be chayef for Bal Yerah. So at the end of the day, if it says by V'lo Yerah Gevulcha, you'll be over Bal Yerah, even if it's only in Gevulcha, not in your house. And you'll be over Bal Yematzah also, even if it's big Gevulcha, not in your house. It says by V'lo Yematzah, the word Yematzah doesn't say V'lo Yerah. That suggests you don't have to see it. So you'll be over V'lo Yematzah if you don't see it, be over V'lo Yerah if you don't see it. And although it says Shalcha Yataraya Aval Ataraya Shalachem, which would seem to suggest that if I have chametz in my house, but it's not really mine, the halacha is, it wouldn't be a problem. But being that by V'lo Yematzah, it doesn't say that. So what comes out is that if somebody has chametz in his house, even if it's not his, he could be over V'lo Yematzah. Not only could he be over V'lo Yematzah, but at the same time, he could be over V'lo Yerah as well. Now, this next point is a little bit tricky. It sounds a little bit like the takeaway from the Braisa is that it would be usur for a person to have somebody else's chametz in his house. Why? Because even though by V'lo Yerah it says Shalcha Yataray Avataray Shalacherim, but by V'lo Yematzah it doesn't say that. It just simply says Shivas Yavim Sar Lo Yematzah Bevatechem. We have a hekesh. So the bottom line is, it would sound like it would be usur for a person to have somebody else's chametz in his house. Stating that, if you go through the Braisa with a fine-tooth comb, and the way the Gemara is going to analyze a little bit right now, that's not 100% true. We sell our chametz, and the reason it's okay for you to have chametz in your house, albeit if you sell it, is because at the end of the day, if it doesn't belong to you, shel chaya teraya, avala teraya shel acher. So if that's the case, what is the ribui? What are we being marba when we say that being that it only said the word l'chaba v'lo yira, it didn't say it by v'lo yimatzei. So therefore we're marba, even if it's not shalcha, still you're going to be chayiv. So where marba is the lashon of the braisa, you're allowed to be mekabel, or it's aser to be mekabel a pikadon from a nachar. What we're marba from v'lo yimatzei, which did not say l'cha, that is in contrast to v'lo yira that does say l'cha, is that based on the v'lo yira l'cha, you would think you can have a pekadim from an achir in your house. V'lo yimatze is a chumra that teaches me you cannot have a pekadim. So at the end of the day, this is important, there is a halach of shalcha yataraya aval ataraya shalachayim. At the same time, there's also a ribui of shivas yavim sar lo yimatze bevateichem. Okay, it's that. From Shulcha Yataraya Avataraya Shalachayim, we're memayet, that if it's not my chametz, it could be in my house. From Veloyimotze, we're marba one knech. We're marba one sif katan. Something that you would have thought is included in the miyut of Shulcha Yataraya Avataraya Shalachayim, we include, and what that is that you're allowed to be, it's not okay to be mekabel a pikadoin from a non-Jew. Says the Gemara, when the Braisa discussed that halacha, that it's aser to have a pikadon of a nachri inside your house on Pesach, how do I know that? Because it says lo yimatze, and that's not excluded from v'lo yira l'cha shalcha yataraya aval ataraya shalachayrim. So the Braisa said as follows, Omar mar, ein li ela b'nachri shalei kibashli. You would think that chumrah, that you're not allowed to have a pikadon of a goy chametz in your house on Pesach is only true if this is a guy that you didn't conquer. Simply, he doesn't work for you. He doesn't live with you. How do you know that it's also awesome to have the pekadin of a guy in your house in the event that he does work for you, or in the event that he lives in your chatzar? So the Braisa said, lo yimotze teaches me even that. So the Gemara asks an obvious question. Klapi laya. If anything, you would think the svara should be just the opposite, right? You would think that there's more of a reason you should not be able to have the chametz of a non-Jew in your house in the event that he works for you, in the event that he lives in your chatzar. He's part of the family. So it would make more sense that it should be a problem. If you don't know him, you never heard of him, you never met him, so that's more of a svara that it should be okay. But that's not what the Braisa says. Braisa says, I would have thought it's a problem if you doesn't work for you. I would think it's a problem if he doesn't live in your chatzar. How do you know if he does work for you and he lives here? How do you know it's a problem there as well? Sounds like it should be just the opposite. I'm Rabbi Abai said, you're right. It should be just the opposite, and it really is just the opposite. Epoch. You have to flip the gears in the braisa. Don't say ein liela benachri shaloi kibashtoi, but to the contrary, say ein liela nachri shekibashtoi, ein liela nachri shesharich b'chatzar. The chiddush is that even if you weren't koyvishim, even if he doesn't live in the chatzar, even that it's going to be a problem. Rava says loilam loy tebuch. Really, don't be mapachit v'areisha koy. Rather, that line of ein liela benachri shaloi kibashtoi is not going back on the Sefer, but rather it's going back on the Reisha. What's the Reisha? The Braisa says, Shalcha Yataraya, Avalat Haraya, Shalachayim, Vishal Gavaya. Based on the wording of Baal Yerah, you would think, as we just spoke out, that it would only be us to have your chametz, but somebody else's chametz would not be a problem. And it was on that, on the Tzad Hamiut, where the Braisa is talking out the idea that somebody else's chametz is not a problem to have in your house. There the Braisa says, I would think that's only true if it's a nachri that you didn't conquer. He doesn't live with you in the chatzim. But if you have a nachri that works for you, he lives with you in the chatzim, how do you know that even over there, it would be okay? Talmud loymar loyimotze. So here's the problem. Talmud loymar loyimotze to teach me that if you have a nachri she kibashte v'shari imach b'chatzer, it's okay to have his chametz. If we're bringing loyimotze on the tzad hachumro to tell me that it's not okay, so it's very good. Loyimotze is inclusive. It's machmer. But if we're using it now to be memayit, where do you see in loyim matzei amir? It's afraid to gemara. V'hai tana mahadra hatera v'nasaf lekra leisura. How could that be? The tana is trying to find a kula, and he brought a pasuk of loyim matzei, which seems to say iser. So the gemara says mishum shenemar l'cha l'cha treizimni. The reason is because it says in the Torah the word l'cha twice. It says v'loyeroel
l'cha chametz, v'lo yira l'cha sar b'chol gvulecha.
It says it twice in Parshas Bo'i, but the second time that the Gemara is referring to is, it says it again in Parshas Re'eh. It says it again in the Kri of Asa Ta'asa, v'lo yira l'cha sar b'chol gvulecha. It says the word l'cha twice, im eino inyan to bal yira the second time, t'neyo inyan to bal yimatze. So it's as if it said the word l'cha b'bal yimatze, that second miut that you have by bal yimatze is mema'et in that part of the brisa, the Nachri Shekibashtoi Veshari Imach Bechatzar. So the way Rav is reading the brisa, when the Gemara initially said that a Nachri Shekibashtoi Veshari Imach Bechatzar is included in this halacha, trying to figure out what that halacha is, because it says Lo Yimatze, so Pasha, you think what it means to say is that you're going to be Chayiv. And it's learned out from V'lo Yimatze, which is inclusive on the Tzad HaChiyuv. But what Rava said was, no, really, L'o Yimatze is teaching you a miut. What do you see in L'o Yimatze? A miut. It doesn't say L'cha by L'o Yimatze. L'o Yimatze was Dafka the Mechayev. It says it twice by Bal Yira, then Eino Inyan L'Bal Yira, Tneyo Inyan L'Bal Yimatze. So we could breathe for a second. The bottom line is that one takeaway from this Braisa is that there's an idea of Shalchoy Ataraya Aval Ataraya Shalachirim as it relates to the Lava Bal Yira Bal Yimatze. But at the same time, there's an idea that you're not allowed to take a pekodim from a guy. And it doesn't matter whether he works for you, he doesn't work for you, he lives in your chatzah, he doesn't live in your chatzah. To take a pekodim from a guy is not going to be okay. So the question is, how do you reconcile that? What's the pshat in that? Right? What's pashup pshat? We're past the cheshbonos now. What's pashup pshat? I'm allowed to have somebody else's chametz, but I can't have a pekodin of a guy. You would think you could take a pekodin from a guy, and you would think that the chametz could be tamun, and it could be hidden somewhere. Tamud loy mar loyi matze. Faith to Gemara. Amrit reisha shalchay atneroya, but atneroya shalachem mishal gavaya. You just said that the isra is for you to have your own chametz in your house, but somebody else's chametz, if the chametz belongs to Hektish, it's not a problem. Meaning, at the end of the day, how do you reconcile these two ideas? So the Gemara says like Kasha, had the kabbal aleh achrayis, had the loy kabbal aleh achrayis. If you have someone else's chametz, like a guy's chametz, and you weren't mekabel achrayis, meaning if it gets lost, it's not your problem. So then the halacha is, it's okay for you to have that chametz in your house. Shalchay ataraya, aval ataraya shalachem. If, however, you have somebody else's chametz in your house, like a guy's chametz, but you are mekabel achrayis, meaning if something happens to it, you're on the hook, you're going to be responsible. So with here, the halacha is going to be that you're going to be chayiv. And what's the premise for this? Says the Gemara, Ki hada amalu Rava l'bnei Mechuzah. And this is based on something that Rava once told the Bnei Mechuzah. Rava was the Rav of Mechuzah, and there's a lot of Gemaras where Rava is talking to the Bnei Mechuzah. He's getting up in shul behind the pulpit. He's talking to his Kehila. So Rava told the Bnei Mechuzah, Bi'iru chamir de Bnei Chela mibataychu. Make sure that you get rid of all the chametz that belongs to the chayalim that are inside your houses. So it seems that there were troops that would station themselves in the Jewish houses, in their quarters, and they would leave things there. They would leave food there. The food was chametz. So Rava told the Bnei Mechuzah, you have to get rid of this on Pesach. It's not allowed to be there. There's bayura, bayu matzi problems. Why? So he explained to him, because kilu d'ilu mingav, because being that if it would get stolen, v'ilu mitvar, or get lost, bishu saicha koi b'isu l'shlume, you'd be on the hook. Let's be honest, if one of these guys show up and says, what happened to my sandwich that I left on the side? I'm sorry, gneva v'aveda, right? It was lost, it was stolen, you're going to have a problem. So meaning, this is something that you're responsible for, kidul chayndami, it's as if it's yours, and if it's yours, v'aser, you're not allowed to have it in your rishos. So the Gemara says, gavaldik, really, there's a din shal chayataraya, avalataraya shalachirim. And even though we have a hekesh, bayura, bayumatze, bayumatze, it doesn't say the word lacha, it doesn't matter. Shal chayataraya, avalataraya shalachirim, that goes down as halacha l'maisa. At the same time, the Braisa says he's not let it be makabel a pekodin of a guy. If a guy gives you a pekodin, it's not yours, it's his. You're going to keep it in your house. The halach is, it's a problem. You're going to be over the by your by your matzah. The Gemara's kash is, doesn't make any sense. If you're allowed to have somebody else's chametz, a pekodin belongs to somebody else. So if it belongs to somebody else, why is it okay? You know what the teretz is? Because when you're a shomer pekodin, you're responsible for it. Whether you're a shayim mechinam or a shayim mesacher, or you're a seicher or you're a shayil, but anytime you're watching somebody else's item, on some level you have responsibility. Oh, the minute I have responsibility for it, the halacha is it's going to be mine. Now the truth is that so pashut? Is that so pashut that if I'm responsible for something, that means I suddenly have bailas? So the Gemara says that really this should be totally in another machloikis, a very important machloikis in
Seder Noshim and Seder Nezikin, and that is a machloikis between Rav Shimon and the Chachamim, whether a Dover Agoyim Lamamin is Kemamin Dami, or a Dover Agoyim Lamamin is Lav Kemamin Dami. The context is a Mishnah in Perek Merubim, the Saktas Bava Kama, where the halacha is, if somebody has a behemoth that's hektish, right, somebody's made a neder, harei olai oila, and then he took an animal and he was makdish it, it's a carbon oila. Somebody else goes and steals that animal. Should he be chayiv to pay the owner of the animal or not? So the truth is, once a person's makdish something, it's not really his anymore from a chayish mishpat standpoint. Because we have a rule, amira legvaya, kemasir lahedi. Once you declare that something should be hektish, you actually lose title of it. It's not, from a monetary perspective, yours anymore. Stating that, Reb Shimon says, if somebody would steal it, he would be chayiv. You know why? Because if this person made a neder and he said a re'olai oilo, that means he has to bring a carbon oilo. So what happens if this animal was stolen? He's going to have to find another animal. So when you steal the animal, even though you didn't take something that was his, quote unquote, because you're a lamdin and you know amir legvaya kemasir lehedyet. What do you mean I stole it? It's not yours. I stole from Ekdesh. I'll deal with Ekdesh, and you have nothing to do with it. Reb Shimon says, I hear. But at the same time, this davar is goyrim lamamin. The replacement value is very expensive because if I lose it, I'm now going to have to write a check to make up the difference. So, Dover Agoyim Lamamin, Reb Shimon holds, is Kamam and Dami. So the Gemara says, Gishma Koch, Nichalaman, Dover Agoyim Lamamin, Kamam and Dami. Bishlam, if you hold Dover Agoyim Lamamin, Kamam and Dami, then I understand that if you have somebody else's chametz in your Rishos, even though it's not yours, and there's a din Shalchay, Ataray, Avalataray, Shalacherim, but being that you have some level of Achrayas, because it's a Pekadin, you're a Shoimir Pekadin, and that's why it's considered yours. So if you hold Dover Agoyim Lamamin, so very good. Now it's Kamam, it's yours, it's Shalchay. So what's the issue over here? At the end of the day, it's not yours. You're responsible for it, but Dover Agoyim Lamamin is Lav Kamamin Dami. So the Gemara says, I hear, but Chani Hachad Amar Lo Yimatzei. At the end of the day, we have a pasuk. This halacha was learned out from a pasuk. We're not applying svaras and principles from the rest of Shas. We have a pasuk of Lo Yimatzei, and the chiddush of Lo Yimatzei is that even though usually Dava Agarim Lamamin is Lavt Kamam and Dami, but when it comes to Chametz on Pesach, Dava Agarim Lamamin is Kamam and Dami. Ikad Amri, some had a different version of this extension. The Gemara approached it actually just the opposite. Bishlam, if Dava Agarim Lamamin is Lavt Kamam and Dami, then I understand the Braisa. I know the Itzdirich Lo Yimatzei. I understand why we need the pasuk of lo yimatzei. El man damer kemam and damer. The quintamad damer that says davar agarim lamamin is kemam and damer lo yimatzei lamali. Why do I even need a pasuk? Right, good kasha. If davar agarim lamamin is kemam and damer, so in svara I know that if you have the pekadin that belongs to a guy, it's chametz in your house, you should violate. You should be over by your rabbi yimatzei simply because it's a davar agarim lamamin. So why do I need a pasuk? Why do I need a pasuk of Layimatz? It's Rech the Gemara says. Oh, good. I take a minute because I would have thought hayol dechi isay hadebeene. Being that right now I have it, I can return it. It's a lab rishus ekoi. So maybe it's not considered that it's in my rishus. Kamash malon, that's the chiddush, and it's for that reason we need the pasuk of lo yimatzei. Meaning, because although dover hagoyim lamamin is kemamin dami, but that just means that if something would happen to it, being that I would suddenly be on the hook, so it comes out you caused me hefsid. And as a result, you have to pay me. But it doesn't mean that when I have something in front of me that I'm theoretically responsible for, if something's going to happen to it, that we have to look at it right now as if it's mine. Davar Grim Lamamin doesn't mean the item belongs to me. That's what the Gemara is saying. It doesn't mean that it belongs to me. It means that if you would damage that item, you are inevitably damaging me, and as a result, you would be responsible to pay for me. But right now, this item is here, and I can simply take the item and give it back. Nothing happened to it yet. There's no reason in Sfarah to say that it belongs to me. Either way, the Gemara says it's for that reason. Could be even if you're Dovah Gerim Lamamin, Kamam and Dami, that's why you need a Pasuk or Yomatzi to tell me that in this case, you would be Chayiv. Either way, we go from Ba'yirah, Ba'yimatze, a difficult brisa, to a little bit of a lundis in terms of the sugya of Dover Agoyim Lamamin Kamam and Dami. The truth is, Dover Agoyim Lamamin Kamam and Dami is a major sugya. It's very much a psachim sugya because of the Gemara that we just went through very, very quickly. It's also a meruba sugya. It's also a shas sugya. And the principles of Dover Agoyim Lamamin really touch on a lot of shas ideas. Grama ben Ezakin, Rameir, who's done Dina de Garmi. So this is one of the grumma type of sugyas. Either way, we are going to do what we do, which is, of course, go vayta. Bo, minei mei Rava. They ask Rava the following question. Me inyan le inyan ba oise inyan. Be heimas arnuna. Chayeves b'chayra. Ay ein chayeves b'chayra. So anyone that ever lived in Eretz Yisrael knows what arnuna is. Taxes. The question is, so it seems that once upon a time, the equivalent of the IRS, so they used to
require people to give 10% of all their possessions and all their earnings to the government. And that's what Arnuna was. Rashi says the number was 1/10. Interesting. But Behemoth Arnuna is a herd of behema, where you're going to be responsible to give a certain percentage of it to the government. Here's the question. If I have a bechor right now, one of my animals gives birth to a bechor. So there's halacha that a bechor has to be given to a kohen. Do you have an obligation to give the bechor to the kohen, or do you not have an obligation to give the bechor to the kohen? Why, yeah? I mean, you had a bechor. Why not? Because you have a non-Jewish partner. And this is the oldest trick in the book, that how did people circumvent, quote unquote, the laws of Bechaira, the sugis in the beginning of Masechtas Bechairas, you take a non-Jewish shutif once you have a partner. So, says the Gemara, they asked Rav an interesting question. They wanted to know that maybe all the animals today, that we're all potter from Bechaira. You know why? Because the government is our partner. Let's be honest. So if that's the case, it's Behemas Arnuna. So maybe because there are shutfim, we have non-Jewish partners. So maybe we should be potter. That was the question. So they prefaced the question like this. And they understood, whoever sent this telegram to Rava said that there's no question. If you don't have to give the government the actual behema, but all you have to do is give him the value of the behema, that's pasha de chayevis. You for sure are going to be chayki. Come by, you know what the question is. In the event that you have no choice but to give the actual animal, my, what's the halacha? Meaning, if you can write a check instead, it sounds like you don't really have a partner in the actual animal. But if you have to give the animal, what's the halacha? Amlusi told him petura, your partner. Big chiddush. Faith the Gemara v'tanya we learned in a brisa chayevis. We learned in a brisa not that way. Awesome. Zok the Gemara the matzi mesalik. Rava said no. That brisa is talking about when you can be mesalik. And like you said in the question, you understood that if you can be mesalik, there's no question. But you want to know what the halach is, you're going to be potter. Ikedamri. Some say the opposite. Amar Rava. Rava said behemas arnuna p'tumen abechayra. The afal gafta matzi mesalik. Even if you're mesalik, the halach is you're always going to be potter. Isa sarnuna. What about if somebody has dough? And again, you had to pay taxes. So imagine, you have to, you're baking challah, and you have to take a bulkala, and you have to give it to some officer somewhere. So the question is, this dough, are you chayiv in challah, or are you not going to be chayiv in challah? Because it's the same halacha. If you have a non-Jewish partner in your bakery, you're not chayiv in challah either. So says the Gemara, Isa sarnuna, there you're chayiv. Not like Bechor with your potter. There you're going to be chayiv. And there, to the opposite extreme, even if you can't be mesalik, the arnuna, by simply writing a check, you have to give the actual dough, the actual bread, even there you're going to be chayiv. My time, what's the difference between a behema and a dough? Right, it's the same question. A behema, we have a non-Jewish partner, your potter from Bechor. Dough, we have a non-Jewish partner, your potter from Chala. Yet, as it relates to arnuna, do we look at the government as your shutif, or do we not look at them as your shutif? As it relates to Bechor, we're very makel. Your potter, even if you could be mesalik bezuzi, you're going to be potter. When it comes to Isa, we're very machmer. You're chayiv, even if you can't be mesalik bezuzi, you're going to be chayiv. So the Gemara says the reason is a very practical reason. It's a derabbanon reason. Behema is like kala, isa less like kala. Behema has a kala. You know, people know when you have to give away your behemas, it's a big deal. A behema was a very important possession. And as a result, isa like kala, nobody is going to think that if you don't give the bechor to the kayin, that it's because of something that you're doing that you're really not supposed to do, because it's going to be understood. You're doing it because it's a behemoth arnuna. As it relates to dough, however, no one really knows what's flying. So if you're going to suddenly stop being mafresh challah from your dough, so people aren't going to realize that it's challah's arnuna, and as a result, therefore the halacha is, you should give it to the kohen, you should still be chayiv in challah. Tana rabbanon, me'inyin le'inyin, va'oisei nachash in chatzar chatzar shal Yisrael, u'b'teke bi'adei, if an Andrew comes into a chatzar, on Pesach, and he's holding chametz, ein zakik levar. That halacha is, you don't have to worry about it. What do you mean? In your kitchen, you have chametz right now. It's not yours. It's the guy's. He's holding it. It's fine. It's not an issue. Hefkidoi etzloi. What if he gave it to you as a pikadon? Zakik levar. That already is going to be an issue. That's the braisa. That's the theme of the first part of the daf. Because even though shalchay atarai alvatarai shalachayim, but if you have a pekadin for which you chayv and achrayas, whether you hold dava agarim lamam and kamam and dami, whether you hold dava agarim lamam and lav kamam and dami, at the end of the day, there's a pasuk of loy matze that says you're going to be chayv. Yichid loy bayis. What would be if a guy is renting or borrowing a room in your house? So a bias here really means a room. He has a room in your house and he leaves chametz over there. What's the halacha? Could he keep it there or not? Ain zakik levar. So what are the three cases? First case is
guy walks into your house, he's holding a bagel. It's Pesach. You don't have to worry about it. The second case is he comes to you and he says, Rabbi, would you do me a favor? Would you watch my bagel on Pesach? That's a big problem. If you have any level of achrayas, that's going to be an issue. The third case is where he comes and he asks, can I please rent a room in your house over Pesach? And he's going to do whatever he's going to do. You have a goita that's staying in your house. And she's not careful in Hilchas Chametz or Matzah. Could she have Chametz that's hers inside the house? Right? That's the Shiloh. So the halacha is, as it relates to the first case, you don't have to worry about it. Pekadin is a problem. Yichiloi bias, also no issues. Shenemar lo yimotze. So the Gemara might come. What does this all mean? Amar Rapapa. Rapapa said Areshachai. Meaning, lo yimotze sounds like it's going back on the third case. Yichiloi bias, ein zokik levair. That if you gave him a rune, don't worry about it, because it says lo yimotze. So where do you see that in lo yimotze? So Papa says no. Even though lo yimotze was mentioned after the third case, but really it was referring back to the second case. V'hochi ka'amar. What was the second case? That if a guy gives you a pekadin, you have to get rid of it. What's the makar to that? The price on Hayamid Beis. What did the price on Hayamid Beis bring as the source? Lo yimotze. It's exactly what this price is saying. Shenema lo yimotze. So this price is a snippet of the longer price that we had in Daf Hayamid Beis. Rav Ashi Amalei Lama Sefer. Rav Ashi said, really, lo yimotze is going back on the Sefer, which is what it sounds like it's going on. The Hachi Kamar. So it's going back on the Halacha where Yichad Lo Bayis, where the guy is renting a room in your house. And what he's saying is, Yichad Lo Bayis ain't Zachal Levar. In the event that he rented a room, you don't have to worry about it. Shenema lo yimotze. Because it says lo yimotze bivoteichem v'ha lav didehu, and this is not your house. The nachri ki kama'ayel abeisa denafshe kama'ayel, because being that he's renting the room, being that this, which is obviously a little different than the case with the goita, but being that over here he's renting the room, so now it belongs to him the room. Also, it belongs to him the room, so in this case, it's not going to be a problem. So it's not the lo yimotze, it's the bivatechem, it has to be yours. And if it's not yours, it's not going to be an issue. So the Gemara says, lemeimer de schirus kanya, this is also totally in a big shiloh. If you count the amount of sugis we're going to have in today's da, right, this is also totally in a major shiloh. The first discussion was totally in dovah gerim, lemamen kemamen dami. This is totally in a different question. If somebody rents something, is he considered an owner, or is he not considered an owner? Is Schiris Kanya, or is it not Kanya? So it sounds a little bit like we're saying Schiris is Kanya. Why are we saying Schiris is Kanya? Again, a guy rents a room in a Jew's house. So could he keep Chametz there? The answer is yeah. Why? Because lo yimotze bevateichem. It's not yours. It belongs to him. Oh, so you tell me, because he rented it, now belongs to him. Tanan. The problem is, we learned in the Mishnah, Mesechtes Avodah Zarah, Af Mangsham Lahaskir, Lo Yimotze Bevateichem, Amru, the halach is that sometimes you're allowed to rent a house. This is back in the day where the Akum were Oivdei Avodah Zarah. So sometimes you were allowed to, sometimes you weren't allowed to rent a property to an Akum, to a pagan. So says the Mishnah, even times that you're allowed to, you're not allowed to do it as a base dira. Because they're going to bring Avodah Zarah. You're going to end up having Avodah Zarah in your house. You're not allowed to have Avodah Zarah in your house. Now, if you're going to tell me Schiris Kanya, when they bring the Avodah Zarah into your house, they're really bringing it into their house. So why is it not a problem? Schiris Kanya belongs to the guy. To say the same thing over here, they're bringing the Avodah Zarah, he's renting. As long as he's paying this rent, it belongs to him. So belongs to him, what's the issue? Shani hocho da'afke rachmona beloshin lo yimotze. Mi shemotze biyotche yotze zeh, she'enu motze biyotze. The Gemara says, no. Could be really, schirus is loikanya. And as a result, really the house belongs to you. So what did the Gemara mean when it said lo yimotze? The emphasis is not on bivoteichem, which is what we thought it was, but rather it's on the word lo yimotze alone. You know what the word lo yimotze sounds like? It means that the isser is when it's matzoi. So when it's matzoi, that's when it's an issue. If you have a room in your house and you just rented it to somebody else and this chametz in there, that chametz is not matzoi. The reason it's not matzoi is you don't have rights to walk into the room. You rented it. As a result, you can't walk in. Oh, you can't walk in. It's not matzoi. That's the mitzvah. So the miut is not the bevateichem. That would be totally in schiris, kanya, schiris. Ain't a kanya. We're not getting involved in that. Could be what the brisa means is simply lo yimotzei, which means it has to be matzoi. If it's not matzoi, that's when you're going to be excluded. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav. The rest of the daf is a lot lighter. So Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rabbi, if somebody finds chametz inside his house on Yontif, so the halach is you have to cover it. Can't just leave it there. You have to cover it. Now you're going to say, why are you covering it? Get rid of it, right? Teretz is chametz on Pesach is muktzah, because you can't eat it. So if it's muktzah, so you can't get rid of it.
Chol Moed, you can get rid of it, but it's Yontif right now. So what you should do is you should take a keli, you should cover it, and then after Yontif, you're going to deal with it. Why are you covering it? Because you don't want anyone to, by mistake, take a bite out of it. Amar Rava, Rava said, Imshal Hektishu, if this chametz belonged to Hektish, ain't it tzark, you don't have to worry about it. My time, because no one ever eats Hektish. Because the whole year, you're accustomed to not eating Hektish. As opposed to regular chulin, that's not Hektish, there is a concern, and that's why the halach is, you have to take a clean, you have to carve. Amar Rav, Yudam Rav, a similar halach, chemtzai shal nachri, if you have the chametz of a nachri inside your house on Pesach, so you, suddenly you found it, you should make a mechitza that's 10 tfachim tall around it, mishum hacker, because of a hacker. Mishum hektish, if it belongs to hektish, you don't have to worry about it. My time, because again, people know to stay away from it. As a result, you don't have to worry. So if you found the chametz of a guy, or if you have it there, beheter, like in one of the ways where it's mutter to have it, but you have to make sure that it's around it. At the end of the day, there has to be some hacker around it. If there's no hacker around it, it's going to be a problem. Rav Yehuda, another halacha, the Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, a halacha that's going to take us until the end of the daf, and a halacha that's going to be the topic of the Rebbeit. Hamefarish v'hayoytze b'shiara. If somebody's going away for Yontif, but he doesn't go away shvur shachal boy, he's going away already a long time before Yontif. So here's the halacha. Kodem shalishim yom. If you go away more than 30 days before Yontif, ein zakuk levar. You don't have to worry about bedikas chametz. You don't have to worry about getting rid of your chametz. Toich shalishim yom. If, however, you go within 30 days of Yontif, zakuk levar, then you do have to worry about it. Amar abaya abaya say. Had amar toich shalishim yom zakuk levar. This that the halacha is that if you go away within 30 days, you have to get rid of your chametz. Meaning, if you go away, you leave your house within 30 days from Pesach, you have to make sure before you leave, you do bedikas chametz. That's essentially what we're saying. Lo yamar elo shaday teilach. That's only true, said Abai, if you plan on coming back during Pesach. Aval ein day teilach, if you don't plan on coming back during Pesach, ein zokik levar. You don't have to worry about it. Now, the truth is, again, we have no time to do this. The stuff is so loaded, it's impossible. But, pashup shad, Abai needs beer, right? What do you mean? I don't plan on coming home for Pesach, I don't have to worry about getting rid of my chametz. If I own the house, shouldn't it be a problem? But that's what Abaye said. The only time within 30 days you have to worry about your chametz is if you're planning on coming back on Pesach. You're going to be home for Pesach. You have to take care of it. What should I do? Bedika? I thought bedika is Oyer L'Arbasa Boit Kinesa Chametz. I understand. But you're within 30 days, now already you have to do it. But if you don't plan on coming back for Pesach, you don't have to worry about it. Amale Rava, Rava said no. If you plan on coming back for Pesach, afilim Rosh Hashanah nami. You know, 30 days. Even Rosh Hashanah, even if it's months, you would have to make sure that there's no chametz. Elam, Rava, Rava said, ha damer koydim shloishim yoyim ain't sarach levar. This that we said before 30 days, you don't have to worry about it. That's true, loyamar aloshin daite lachzer. That's only true if you don't plan on coming back. Aval daite lachzer, if you plan on coming back, like Rava said, afilim Rosh Hashanah zaku levar. That lach is, even for Rosh Hashanah, you would have to be mevar. For us, the Rava letameh. So the Gemara says this, that Rava said that if a person plans on coming back, afilu me Rosh Hashanah tzarech levar, this that is a magic number of 30 days, that's only if you don't plan on coming back. Rava is litame. The Amar Rava, Rava said, ha'oise beitza oitzer, if somebody takes tfuah and he puts it on the floor of his house. What's the significance of this? He covered the chametz on the floor. So he had chametz on the floor of his house, and he just covered it with tefuah. Now, if you cover chametz with tefuah, it's actually a kiyum on some level of tashbisu. Rashi says it's kimavur. You really did what you had to do. It's bir chametz. As a result, you don't have to worry about it. However, it's bidiyefet. Lekatchila, that's not the way you're supposed to do it. So Rava said the following. If somebody would take his house and turn it into an oitzer. Koydim shloishim yoyim, before 30 days, meaning more than 30 days before Pesach, ein zakik levar. He will not have to do the lekatchila, which is take the chametz from underneath the tefuah and dispose of it. Toich shloishim yoyim, however, if he did this within 30 days, zakik levar. Because once it was already 30 days before Pesach and you had chametz on the bottom of the floor, now you don't rely on the bidiyevet that you just covered it with tefuah and I'm good to go. No, you want to uncover the chametz and you want to dispose of it in the more lekatchila way. And then Rava said, v'koydim shloishim nami, this that I said before 30 days, don't worry about it. That's elosh ein daite lefnoisai. That's only if you don't ever plan on removing it. Aval daite lefnoisai. But if you plan on removing it, afilu koydim shloishim yoyim nami zok levar. Even before 30 days, you would have to be mevar. So what's the va'az the Rava letameh? This is Rava leshitasi in one point. There's a halacha that if somebody goes away more than 30 days before Pesach, you don't have to think about chametz. You have to think about my chametz more than 30 days before Pesach. But at the same time, if you plan on coming back for Pesach, now you are obligated to. In a similar vein, Rava was discussing this idea of just covering your chametz with tefuah, which b'di'eved is okay. Meaning on Pesach, you wouldn't be over the Averis because with the Eved, it's fine. But L'Katchila, you're not supposed to do that. Within 30 days of Pesach, you're supposed to be sensitive to the L'Katchila. More than 30 days before Pesach, you can rely on the Eved. But only, here's the caveat, this is the Va'az, the Rav, the Tameh. If you don't plan on uncovering, but if you plan on uncovering it, you have to be thinking about Chametz even more than 30 days before Pesach. That's where Rav's L'Shitah said. Abaye said, before 30 days of Pesach, you don't have to think about Pesach. You don't have to worry about Pesach more than 30 days before Pesach. Rav said, you have to take into account what you plan on doing moving forward. You plan on coming back for Pesach? You better think about Pesach more than 30 days before Pesach. You plan on removing the tefillah? So then, yeah, you have to work on the l'katchila even more 30 days before Pesach. The Gemara. Hani shloishim yoy mavet. What's this 30 days all about? 30 days before Pesach is a number. The Gemara says, yeah, the Tanya will learn to the Brayse. Says, shoyalin, vidarshin, behilchas ha-Pesach, kaidem ha-Pesach, shloishim yoyim. This is the Gemara that we mentioned in the introduction to Masechtas Pesachim. There's a mitzvah, there's an obligation to start learning the halachas of Pesach 30 days before Pesach. Shem Gamliel says, shtei shabbos. It's not 30 days, but rather 2 weeks. So before we go weiter, so what's the teretz? The teretz is that being that you see a person is obligated to think about Pesach 30 days before Pesach, I'm quoting from Rashi, 4 lines from the bottom, umeoz chal olav lehizor betzarchei ha-Pesach. From that time on, you have an obligation to think about Pesach. Meaning, today is 4 months before Pesach. Yeah, we're learning Pesachim, but do you really have to be thinking about Pesach now? What is it chal in today's zman that we're 4 months before Pesach? There's no yachas to say this in lumdish terms between today and Pesach. It rather happens to be 4 months before Pesach, but you don't have to wake up today and think about Pesach, right? It's just not something you're responsible to do. At some point, right, you'll be reminded that it's soon Pesach, and you'll know which rooms you're allowed to walk into, etc., etc. But it's not something you have to do now, right? This is Chodesh Kislev. You don't have to be thinking. You're thinking now about the Menorah, about Chanukah. That's what you're thinking about. You don't have to be thinking about Pesach. So when is it like incumbent upon a yid to know Bistachayid? It's Kum Pesach. You have to think about it. You have to be sensitive to it. Oh, if Shoyalim v'darshim b'hilchas ha-Pesach koidim ha-Pesach shloishim yoyim zok Rashi me'oz chal olav li'zor b'tzarchi ha-Pesach. And this permeates halacha. So if a person's going away for Pesach, so the question is, he's not going to be home Erev Pesach. Do I have to, I know there's a mitzvah, b'dikas chametz, I have to make sure there's no chametz in my house. So here's the question. At what point do I have to think about it? 30 days. That's when a yid has to start thinking about Pesach. So if it's within 30 days, you have to be worried about it. If it's more than 30 days earlier, you know, Rav Shimon Gamliel had a different shita. He said 2 weeks. My time in the Tana Kama. What's the makar to the Tana Kama that says it's 30 days? We learn it from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu on Pesach Rishon, umazra ala Pesach Sheni, and he was telling the Yidden about Pesach Sheni. Shemba v'yasu b'nei Yisrael sa Pesach b'moyadoi. And right afterwards, v'ksiva hi anoshem ashohoyu t'meim l'nefesh adam. So it sounds like when the Yidden brought the Karban Pesach, Moshe Rabbeinu told the Yidden about Pesach Sheni. So you see, 30 days before Pesach Sheni, he told him about Pesach Sheni. So this is the concept of Shloishim. Shem Gamliel, Amalach, he'll tell you, I did Iri b'mili de Pesach. Right? Shem Gamliel says it doesn't have to be 30 days. All it has to be is 2 weeks. I, Moshe Rabbeinu. No, Moshe Rabbeinu was talking about Hilchas Pesach. Why are you talking about Hilchas Pesach? Because it's Pesach. That for sure you have to do. That's the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, that we mentioned in the introduction. That was a Takanas Moshe Rabbeinu. That, of course, on Yontif itself, you obviously have to talk about the laws of Yontif. So, being that he was talking about the laws of Yontif, Maskul, Chol Milu De Pischa, so he already spoke about all the halachas of Pesach. And Pesach Sheni is a halach in Ilchas Pesach. I mean, it's true, Moshe Rabbeinu was talking about Pesach Sheni more than 30 days before, but says Rav Shimon Gamliel, it's not because of the din of Shloishim Yoyim, but rather it was Mitzad Hilchas Pesach. Because Pesach Sheni is Oichet HaHalacha in Hilchas Pesach. We're going to learn all the sugyas of Pesach Sheni in Masechtas Pesachim. It's a Sif Katan in Hilchas Pesach, and that's why he was talking about. Okay, so we know the Chachamim's Makar. Shari Moshe Oimed BePesach Rishon Umazer Al Pesach Sheni 30 days before. Okay, my time in the Rav Shimon Gamliel. Shimon Gamliel says 2 weeks. What's his Makar? Shari Moshe Oimed BeRosh Chodesh Umazer Al Pesach. He says, you know, I learned it from Pesach Rishon because Moshe Rabbeinu on Rosh Chodesh told Yidden about the Karban Pesach. Where do you see that in Parshas Boy? What day of the week was that? What day of the month was that? It was Rosh Chodesh. It was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. Hashem pointed to the moon. When it looks like this, that's when you know it's the Rosh Chodesh. So, of course, it's dealing with Rosh Chodesh. And right afterwards, a few psukim later, Dabru el kol adas Yisrael leimer ba'asal HaChodesh Hazeh v'yikchu lehem ish sele beis aviz v'goymer. You have all the halachas of Pesach. Where are the halachas of Pesach mentioned for the first time in the Torah? Where is it mentioned in at length? It's in Parshas Boy. Parshas Boy, that Parsha started off, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. So it sounds like it was all in Rosh Chodesh. 2 weeks later, it was Pesach. Oh, says Rosh Hashanah Gamliel. So you see from here that there's a 2 week buffer. You have to talk about the laws of Pesach 2 weeks before, not 30 days before, 2 weeks before. How do you know that when Moshe Rabbeinu told Yidden about the Pesach, Dabrol Kol Adas Yisrael Leima Ba'asal HaChodesh Hazeh, how do you know that was on Rosh Chodesh? Doma Bar Ba, maybe it was on the 4th day of the month, the 5th day of the month, the 3rd day of the month, the 6th day of the month. Right, how do you know which day of the month it was? I mean, the Parsha that talks about Pesach and Parsha's Boy starts off, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chodesh Hashana. And then, right afterwards, the next pasuk, Dabro, Kol Adas Yisrael Leima Ba'asal HaChodesh Hazeh, V'yikhu Lachem Ish Selebeis Ava Selebeis. So the Gemara assumed that it probably happened all on the same day. But mechatesi, maybe HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, and then Dabro, Kol Adas Yisrael, tell them. But maybe Moshe didn't tell them yet. Maybe Moshe didn't tell them until a few days later. Elamai Rabba, Bar Simi, Mishmei de Ravina Mehacha. You have to learn from somewhere else. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe, B'midbar Sinai, B'shona HaShenis, B'chodesh HaRishai. So this is the Rosh Chodesh Nisan of the second year. And they went ahead and they brought the Korban Pesach at its proper time. So you see, he's telling the Yidden about, again, the Korban Pesach, and then they're bringing the Korban Pesach. We still don't know when Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the Yidden. We know when Hashem spoke to Moshe, but we don't know when Moshe spoke to the Yidden. Who said it didn't happen a couple of days later? It's Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok said, Asya Midbar mi Midbar. Ksiv Hachet says, Ovi Midbar Sinai. Viksiv Hassam, Vayidab Hashem, O Moshe Midbar Sinai, Bayo Moed, Be'echel Chodesh Hasheni. Malahalon, that midbar is Berash Chodesh, Avkan Berash Chodesh. So too, this pasuk as well is referring to Rosh Chodesh. The bottom line is, so we know when it says Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe b'midbar Sinai b'shana Hashedes b'chodesh rishon, it means Rosh Chodesh, and Vayasu b'nei Yisrael ha-Pesach b'mayado is 2 weeks later. So you see this idea that again, 2 weeks before, Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Yidden about the halachos of the Korban Pesach, and if that's the case, so you see clearly there's a concept of a 2 week buffer. One more Gemara. Actually, we'll stop here. We need some time for the raid, so we'll stop here a drop prematurely. We'll catch up, but we'll stop here. So again, today's daf was an intense daf, but one of the yesodos of today's daf was a halacha that if somebody is leaving his house before Pesach, does he have to worry and think about doing the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz a week before, 2 weeks before, 3 weeks before, a month before, 2 months before, or maybe no. That's when you start worrying about Bedikas Chametz. Who said at an earlier time I would have to? Stating that Rabbi Yehuda was mekabel from his Groyser Rebbe Rav, who said that the halach is hamefarish v'hayoytze b'shiyar. If somebody goes away, far away, if he goes away within 30 days, he has to worry about getting rid of his chametz. And the Gemara said, what's the makar to this idea of 30 days? So the Gemara said, it's based on a brisa. Because it's an idea that 30 days before Pesach, you have to start learning the halachas of Pesach. So if you have to start learning the halachas of Pesach 30 days, so what do you see from there? May us chal olav lizar b'tzarchei Pesach. It means from that point, a person has a responsibility to be careful and think about Pesach. Once you're within the 30-day window from Pesach, on some broad level, it's already before Pesach. And if it's before Pesach, you have an obligation now to take care of anything that's going to have to be taken care of for Pesach. So therefore, if it's more than 30 days before Pesach, ain't tzarich levar. You don't have to worry about it. But if it's within 30 days, at that point, you would have an obligation to make sure, that you are going to start taking care of Pesach. When we learn Pesach this Erevin, we spoke out an epic tshuva from the Sefer Shailos HaTshuvos Dvar Yehoshua. The author of the Shailos HaTshuvos Dvar Yehoshua is Rabbi Yeshua Mendel Arenberg. He was a Polish Yid who was a Ravin in Hungary, and he was on the Kastner train together with the Satmarov, Rabbi Yenis and Steif, and other Gedolim, and that was the way that he survived the Holocaust. And we spoke at a tshuva about what happened literally within 24 hours from when the Kastner chain departed Budapest. It was en route to Bergen-Belsen. It stopped on the side of the road, and the Nazis, Yimach Shemom, let the Yidden get off the train to relieve themselves and to take care of themselves. And there was a major shaila that emerged between Rabbi Yeshua Mendel and the Satmarov, whether or not it was okay to get off the train or wasn't okay to get off the train. It was totally in shaila whether Yud Beis Mil, Tchumenes Deiraisa, Derabanan, Machil Enoisei Kalakal, major, beautiful on this. We spoke about this several times when we learned Masechtas. Masechtas Erevin. But there's another tshuva in the Shailos HaTshuvos Dvar Yehoshua. I want to say this is the sequel. It's actually more the prequel. But either way, this is the very, very first tshuva in the Shailos HaTshuvos Dvar Yehoshua from Yeshua Mendel Arenberg. The tshuva was written in Budapest, Mimachras Yom HaKippurim, in the year Tovshin Dalet. So it was written the day after Yom Kippur, 1943, Lemispara. The person that asked Rabbi Yeshua Mendel the question was a Yid who was referred to as the Rosh Yeshiva of Budapest. Very, very chashuv Yid. His name was Reb Chaim Alter Berkowitz, Hashem Yom Kum Domai. So he sent the following question to Rabbi Yeshua Mendel. Sukkot is in a few days. He said the reports are that there are very, very few Esroigim in Hungary. In fact, there's a lot that's been written. I'm going to link something, Metz Hashem, after the daf on the chats, a fascinating article about the Dalet Minim in Hungary in the year 1943. But this was already a time where Hungary was being occupied, and it was very hard to get Esroigim in the conventional way. And there were rumors that were spreading that there were three Esroigim in Hungary. But all the people that lived in the surrounding villages, they didn't have any Dalet Minim. The issue was they didn't have an Esri. And the question was, and this was the shaila that was posed to Rabbi Yeshua Mendel, should we all go and spend Yontif in Budapest? Over there, we'll be able to mekayim the mitzvah, lekachtem lechem b'yom rishon, we'll be able to mekayim the mitzvah of Dalet Minim. Or maybe he says, no, we don't live in Budapest, we live here. Maybe this is not something that we're responsible to do. So he quoted, did Reb Chaim Alter Berkowitz, so this is, you know, the Torah, the way it was presented in Hungary pre-World War II. He said he knows there's a tshuva from the Shevet Seifer. The Shevet Seifer was the Preshberger Rav, who was the Ksav Seifer's son, who was the Chsam Seifer's Zainab. And he said he wrote a tshuva about people leaving home on Yontif and leaving their wives behind, and whether it's okay or not okay. Of course, a fatzaitish, a chsidish, a minik. So he said this was something that was already addressed by the Shevet Seifer, but that's not really what he's asking. He's coming, there's a mitzvah esed deiraisa of ulakachtam lechem b'yom rishon. So he says maybe we have an obligation to pick ourselves up and go to Budapest. Like this, we'll be able to be mekayim the mitzvah of Dalamin. This was the question that Reb Chaim Alter Berkowitz, Hashem Yimkom Damai, the Budapest Rosh Yeshiva, asked to Rabbi Yeshua Mendel Arenberg, a Polish Yid who at the time was living in Hungary. So Rabbi Yeshua Mendel wrote 26 pages. It's 10 simonim. The first 10 simonim of the Shailos HaTshuvos Dvar Yeshua to answer this question. I just want to tell you what his akdom is. Hine levarer hadavar kol tzarki ein biyadi. He said, for me to do justice to this question is impossible. Machmas pizur nafshi. His nefesh is all over the place. Lo yoleinu. The chayse svarim. He says, I don't have svarim. Ach echdoiv mashenir lani es daiti lefum riata b'derech ha'ara be'alma v'kvaytei rasa yachri latzma. He says, I can't pass because I don't have svarim. I'm not comfortable and my head is not in a good place right now. So I don't feel like I'm able to pass in a shaila. I mean, this is literally 1943. So he said, I can't. It's impossible for me to. But at the same time, asking a question, I'm going to jot down a few ha'aras. And the few ha'aras of the Dvar Yeshua are 26 simonim. I mean, 26 pages. It's 10 simonim. It's mind-boggling that the Dvar Yeshua was able to do this in 1943 in Hungary. But says the Dvar Yeshua that the emes is that this question that you're asking me is an older question. This question dates back 100+ years. And really, the question was posed by none other than Rabbi Avram Danzig, the Chayadam. Chayadam in Chelek Aleph, this is in Hilchas Zehiris Mitzvah Klal Sameches, it's Sivkot Yutes. So he talks about what level of sacrifice does a person have to make in order to do a mitzvah. So he says, we know that when it comes to mitzvahs, HaMevazviz Al Yevazviz Yoyse Mechaymesh. Right, there's an idea, not more than a chaymesh. However, look at Chila, you're supposed to maybe give up to a chaimish. When it comes to a lois aseh, that you have to give away all your money. Says the chayadam, but there's something that I'm not sure about, something that Chazal never addressed. V'im tzorech lakar mibesay leilech le'ir acheres l'kayim mitzvah. He says, what about if someone has an opportunity to do a mitzvah, and the only way he could do the mitzvah is if he picks himself up and he goes to another city. So what's the halacha? Whether or not you have to do that, said the chayodim two words, tzarechi. So tzarechi, I'm not sure. Hamevazve, chaymish of your money, you just have to give away. For lois aseh, b'chom moidecha. But v'im tzarech lakor, mi beisoy leilich l'iracher, it's l'kayim ha-mitzvah. So said the chayodim, tzarechi. On the bottom of the chayodim himself wrote Haggais, called the Nishmas Adam. So in the Nishmas Adam, the Chayyadim explains what his Shiloh was. It's an Arichos. I'm just going to take a one snippet. He says, mitam so I'm going to tell you why I think maybe you don't have to leave your house. Again, we're discussing, does somebody have to pick himself up, leave his house before the Yontif, let's say, to go ahead and be Mekayim a mitzvah that he needs to be Mekayim on Yontif, to hear Shofar, to take the Dal Aminim. Right? Does a person have to be Oikami Beis in order to be Mekayim a mitzvah? So he says, I'm going to tell you what I think. The Koidim Yontif, loy Chalol of Klala Mitzvah, Ad Yontif. Let's pick a mitzvah. Dalad Minim. Tkiya Shofar. When is it Chal the mitzvah of Dalad Minim? On Yontif. It says in the Torah, the 15th day of Tishrei, you have an obligation. L'kachtam L'chem B'yayim Arishin. You have to take Dalad Minim. When is the obligation for a person to blow shofar chal on a Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, on Rosh Hashanah? That's when you have obligation to hear the shofar. Before Yontif, there's no chiv to take Dalad Minim. Before Yontif, there's no chiv to hear the shofar. When is it chal the mitzvah? It's chal the mitzvah on Yontif itself. So being that it's chal the mitzvah on Yontif itself, so why in the world should I have to pick myself up, get on a horse and wagon, and suddenly go to some other town? It's like this, I'll be able to Mekayim my mitzvah of Dalad Minim. It's like this, I'll be able to Mekayim my mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar. Right now, I have no chiv. So right now, I have no chiv. Why should I have to? So what are you going to tell me? But on Yontif, you're going to have a chiv. Oh, Yontif, I'll wake up in the morning, I'll be outside the Tchom, and I'm done. So I'm not going to have a problem. So said the Chayadam, that Lechura, I don't think it's necessarily poshut that a person should have to. Why? Because when are you going to leave Erev Yontif? Erev Yontif, I have no chiv. So if Erev Yontif, I have no chiv, why in the world should I, Erev Yontif, have to pick myself up and go? On Yontif itself, I'll be outside the Tchum, right? It's in another city, let's say the Shofar, the Dal Minim, so I'm not going to have to worry about it anyways. Elamai Erev Yontif, I should have to address it. I should set myself up so like this Yontif comes, I'm going to be okay. Who said that a Yid has an obligation on Erev Yontif to make sure he will be able to fulfill the mitzvahs that he needs to fulfill on Yontif? Who said a person has an obligation before the zman of a mitzvah to do everything he needs to do, to cross his T's and dot his I's, so that when Yontif comes, he'll have an obligation? The chiyuv starts on Yontif. So you wake up Yontif in the morning and now figure it out. If you could do it, you have to do it. And if you can't do it, then what are you going to do? You can't do it. And there's no obligation, Erev Yontif, to start worrying about it. So it says, that was my Shaila. He said, that's my Tzarchin. Or maybe no. Maybe a person does, Erev Yontif, have an obligation to start worrying about all the mitzvahs that he has to do on Yontif. And as a result, you'd have to pick yourself up Erev Yontif and make sure that when Yontif comes, you're not outside the Tchum. It's like this, you will be able to hit Tkiya Shofar. You will be able to take your Dalamin. You will be able to eat matzah, whatever the mitzvahs. That's the Tzarchin of the Chayodim. Chayodim says, I'm not sure. That's my Sofik. But Chayodim says, I'll bring you a Raya Lekan. And I'll bring you a raya lakan. He brings many rayas, but I'll tell you one raya this way, one raya that way. First, this way. Not sure which way this way is, but first, one raya is, it says, the Gemara Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Aleph, talks about a case where there were two cities. In one city, the Olam knew how to blow shofar. In the other city, the Olam knew how to say Malchias, Zichronis, and Shofaris. You live in between the two cities, and you're trying to figure out which city should I go to. Should I go to the city where they know how to blow Shofar, or should I go to the city where they know Malchias, Zichronis, and Shofaris? So it's a discussion in the Gemara, and the Gemara says you should go to the city, as you would expect, where they blow Shofar. That's a Deiraisa. Malchias, Zichronis, Shofaris is a Derabanan. So you should go to the city where they blow Shofar. Says the Chayodim, I don't understand the Shaila. Everybody should have to go to the city where they blow shofar. Even the people that live in the city where they know Malchus, Achorius, and Shofar should have to go to the city where they blow shofar. And like this, you'll have one big happy city. The whole part of that world will be there. And like this, everyone will be Mekayim, all the mitzvahs that they have to. So he says, from the Shail of the Gemara, Chayodan talking, it sounds like
There's such a mitzius, there's such a setup, there's such a riddle. What happens if you have two cities, one this way, one that way? What do you mean? It shouldn't even make sense. It should never get off the ground, because at the end of the day, everyone should have an obligation to go to the city where they know how to blow a shofar. So you see from this that it's not so pasha. But says the Chayadim, I'll bring you a raya the other way. From a Gemara. Imesachtes Psachim. Davav Amir Aleph. That's why we're talking about this now. Because the Gemara says that 30 days before Pesach, already, being that Shoylem V'Darshan, Koydim Machag, Shloishim Yoim, Chal, Olav, Chiyuv, Mitzvahs, Bedikas Chomet, you have this ready, be Mavar, you Chomet, 30 days before Pesach, Bedikas Chomet is Oil Arbasa, Boykin Asa Chomet. Why do I have to be worried now? Because I'm going away and I'm not going to be able to be Makai my Mitzvah. Who cares? It's Koydim Dizmana Mitzvah. When it's Oil Arbasa, Boykin Asa Chomet, that's when I should have to deal with it. But why do I have to be thinking about my Chomet 30 days before Pesach? It makes no sense. So what do you see from the Gemara, Shoylem, Darshan, Koydim Pesach, Shloishim Yom? You see from there that 30 days before Yontif, you have to start thinking about Yontif. And if that's the case, part of thinking about Yontif is making sure you'll be able to fulfill the Mitzvah. And which means that you got to pick yourself up and move your family to another city. If that's what you're going to have to do in order to take the Dal Minim. If that's what you're going to have to do in order to take the Tkiyah Shofar. Incidentally, he throws in, because when we, in the introduction to Masechtas Pesachim, just to not confuse this point, we mentioned the Beis Yosef who says that the halach of Shloishim Yoim is only true for Pesach. Magen Avram doesn't pass in that way. Magen Avram says that really Shloishim Yoim is true for all the Yomim Tovim. He clarifies that point. And being that Shloishim Yoim is true for all Yomim Tovim, based on the Gemara Pesachim, Davav, it would sound like that for every single Yom, 30 days before the Yontif, it's incumbent upon you for you to start thinking. But either way, this was the Tzarechin of the Chayyadim. Does the Chiyuv to make sure you will be able to do a mitzvah start dafka by the Zman of the mitzvah? So you wake up the first day Sukkot and now you figure out how to deal with Dalet Minim? You wake up on Rosh Hashanah, where am I davening? Where's the Baal Tekeya? Who's the Baal Makri? I have to make sure I fulfill my mitzvah. Or maybe there's an idea of Shloishim Yoim, like you see in our Gemara, that already before Yontif, it's incumbent upon you. You have a responsibility to deal with it. And the Chai Yodim Blayb Tzorechin. But says Rabbi Shua Mendel, that even though the Chai Yodim Blayb Tzorechin, there were other Gedolei Achronim that discussed this, and they had very strong, passionate opinions. Marki de Islay, Umarki de Islay. And the Makar to that is another Gemara that we learned together here in the beginning of Masechtas Pesachim, a Gemara in Daf Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara had told the story that there was an Arma, a non-Jew, that went to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir and he was bragging to him. He told him, he says, you know, the Jews think they have it all figured out. Kol b'necher lo yoychabay, kol arul lo yoychabay. He says, ich ben a b'necher, I'm an arul, and I eat from the carbon Pesach every year, mishufra de shufra. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir said, really? Yeah, they give you the shufra. Tell me, they ever give you the tail? He said, the tail? I never got the tail. He says, ha, joke's on you. If you're really smart, you'd get the tail. So the person heard that. He said, okay. So next year, Erev Pesach, he arrives and he asks the oilam. He says, tell me, can I have the tail? They looked at him, the tail? The tail is part of the animal that goes on the Mizbeach. He says, tell me, who told you to ask for the tail? He said, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir. So the oilam said, let's huddle. They go over to the side. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir told him to ask for the tail. He must be sending us a message. So they did a little bit of due diligence. They did a little research into this person. And they found out that he was a Shegetz, Ben Benoshel Shegetz. They killed him. And they sent the following letter back to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir. They told Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir, Shalom lecha Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir. The at ben etzivin, you're a netzivin, umtsudascha prusa b'Yerushalayim. You're a netzivin, and your nest is spread out all the way to Yerushalayim. You see the influence that you have in Yerushalayim. Incredible chachma. Thank you for helping us. Freit Tosfos, I have one problem with this Gemara. We mentioned this Tosfos. I don't understand. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir was in Etzivan. Why was he in Etzivan? He should have been in Yerushalayim. Shouldn't Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir have had an obligation to be there? Now, why would you think he would have had an obligation to be there? So first of all, it's a mitzvah to be Oilu Regal. Shalosh Pamim Mashana. V'Oilu was Erev Pesach. Shouldn't he have a chiyuv to bring a carbon Pesach? Zok Tosfos. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir shaloi Oilu Regal. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir, who himself wasn't Oilu Regal, yesh loy mar shaloi Oilu Karka. Says Tosfos, maybe the reason he wasn't Oilu Regal is he didn't have Karka. And the halacha is that someone that doesn't own any Karka, he's potter from the mitzvah of Oilu Regal. This was the Reibah in the end of Pesachim Daf Dal. We spoke about this already. But either way, says Daf Gimel. Either way, says Ma'isot Makshama Olam. He says, I understand. L'chura, Tosfos was trying to address two issues. Why was Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir not in Yerushalayim? Number one, doesn't he have a mitzvah to be Oilu Regal? Number two,
Isn't there a mitzvah to bring a carbon Pesach? What was Tosfos Teretz? Yesh loy mashal lehoyel karka. Shloy hoyel karka is a reason why you wouldn't be obligated in oyle regel. It says in the Torah that when a yid was oyle regel, for layach medishes artzecha, there was a havtocha that no one was going to try to take away the property of the yid. We didn't learn from there that you have to have property in order to be chayiv in the mitzvah of oyle regel. So that's halacha being oyle regel. But carbon Pesach, what's carbon Pesach have to do with anything? What's carbon Pesach have to do with karka? So the achrayim say, you see from here, that just like someone that doesn't have karka is potter from the mitzvah being oyle regel, someone that doesn't have karka is also going to be potter from the mitzvah of carbon Pesach. But the noy de Yehuda in his slach, right there on this Tosfos in Masechtas Pesachim Daf Gimel Amud Beis, says there's no way that that's true. Way too big of a chiddush. You're going to tell me that someone that doesn't own property is potter for being in the carbon Pesach? Why? By other regal, we have a reason. It's learned that from a pasuk. But why would you think that's the case by the carbon Pesach? If that's the case, fake the night to be Huda, then Tosfos didn't really answer the question. Because Tosfos' question was, why did Yehuda ben Beseira not go to Yerushalayim? And Tosfos said, Shalei Hoyo Lakarka. So Tosfos answered why he didn't go mitzad the obligation to be other regal. But what about mitzad the obligation to bring the carbon Pesach? Says the night to be Yehuda. You know why Tosfos never answered that question? Very important. Because he never asked that question. What was Tais Kasha? Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Shaloy Yalo L'Regel. He never asked that question. That's why he never answered that question. Why didn't he answer the question? Says that Rabbi Yehuda, I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to teach you what you saw it. You know why Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira didn't go to bring the Karban Pesach? Because he wasn't Mechuyiv to go. When is it Chal Dechiv to bring a Karban Pesach? Yudal Nisan. You wake up, you're Dal Nisan. If right now you're able to be Mekayim the Mitzvah, you're Mekayim it. If not, not. One of the people that's potter from being in the Karban Pesach is Misha Haya Bederech Rechaika. Right, who brought the Pesach Sheni? If you were a Tameh or you were Bederech Rechaika. What's Bederech Rechaika? 15 mil. If you're more than 15 mil away from Yerushalayim, you're Bederech Rechaika, you're potter. He says, you want to know why Yudim HaMaseir didn't pick himself up and go to Yerushalayim to bring the Karban Pesach? Because he wasn't obligated to bring the Karban Pesach. You know why? Because I'm Mechuyev now, 2 weeks before Pesach, to pack my bags, get on a plane, and go to Yerushalayim and Chedesi. Who said I have a million? You know when you have an obligation? You're Dal Nisan. That's the time you bring the carbon Pesach. She said, you're Dal Nisan. You wake up in the morning. Where are you? If you're Bederech Rechaika, you're going to be pumped. So Tosfos was never bothered about carbon Pesach because he understood why Yehuda ben Beseira didn't bring the carbon Pesach or why he had no obligation to go because he was Bederech Rechaika. What do you mean? 2 weeks earlier, he could have addressed it. He could have started leaving. He wasn't obligated to do that. You know what bothered Tosfos? Oyle regel. Because by oyle regel, the mitzvah is to leave. That's the chefs of the mitzvah. Oyle regel. Leave your house and go. Oh, that's a good kasha. What happened to oyle regel? And on that, the teretz is shloi hoyle karka. But shloi hoyle karka is not a teretz on why to bring the carbon Pesach. Because Tais never asked why he didn't bring the carbon Pesach. And you want to know why Tais never asked why he didn't bring the carbon Pesach? Because it was Pasha to Tais why he didn't have an obligation to bring the carbon Pesach. You know why it was Pasha? It was Pasha because you're not Mechuyev before the Zman of a Mitzvah to address the mitzvah. And being that Yudal and Israel, Yudal Messiah knew he was going to wake up in the morning in Netzivan. So in Netzivan, he's too far from Yerushalayim. And he's Bederech Rechaika. He's potter from being in the carbon Pesach. As a result, he wouldn't have to bring the carbon Pesach. The Michas Chinuch in Mitzvah Hey brings this slach, he brings this Noida Yehuda, and he uses the following word, Atmoha, Aleph, Tof, Mem, two Hays. A Pella. He says, I don't understand this slach. He says, I'm going to ask you one simple question. First of all, he says, if you make the cheshbon, it comes out, Ruba de Ruba of Klai Yisrael weren't obligated to bring the carbon Pesach. Because right? that's the math. You only chayef to bring the carbon Pesach if you live within Mamash in the Old City. You live within 15 mil of the Beis HaMikdash, then you are obligated. But if you live beyond that, you aren't obligated. And Michal Sunna says, the reason I have a problem with that is, so it's going to come out, Roiv of Klai Yisrael had to bring the Pesach Sheni. Roiv of Klai Yisrael couldn't even bring the Pesach Sheni. He says, that's the first Atmaha. Doesn't make any sense. He says, what does that mean? Roiv of Klai Yisrael weren't chayef to bring the carbon Pesach? Sounds like a very big case. Sounds like you have to pick yourself up and you have to get to within proximity. So you're not Bederech Rechaika, you go up to Yerushalayim, you go anyways, you oyle regel, and you bring the carbon Pesach. Right? That's what it sounds like. But he says, Va'oid, if you're not obligated to bavarn the mitzvah before this man of the mitzvah, so let me ask you a question. Do you have a chiyuv before Sukkot to make sure you have dalad mina? Or could you say, I'm going to wake up in the morning and I'm going to figure it out? Let's say you can figure it out. It's impossible. You know why? Because your lulav is going to be attached to your palm tree, and your esrog is going to be sitting here, and it's impossible for a person to ever do a mitzvah. He said, "Where's the shofar going to be on the horn of a ram?" He said, "What are you going to do? You have no way." So at the end of the day, says the Michas Chinuch, he says,
You tell me a person's not going to be obligated to buy it before Chag? It can't be. What's the difference between me having an obligation, which is intuitive, to go buy Dalad Mina before Sukkot, versus me picking myself up and going to Yerushalayim to make sure that I'm not Bederech HaChayka when it comes time for the Korban Pesach? So the Michas Chinuch brings the Tzlach and he says, no way. A Yid has an obligation before this man of a mitzvah to make sure that when it's a kumt this man of the mitzvah, he's going to be able to do whatever he needs to do. In other words, the suffix of the Chayi Adam, what the Chayi Adam said, Tzarechin, is a person obligated to start addressing Kiyum HaMitzvahs before this man Achiyuv. Is that yeah or no? Is really a machloikis between the Noida B'Yehuda and the Minchas Chinuch. Noida B'Yehuda in the Tzlach, on the Tosfos that we learned, Psachim Daf Gimel Amid Beis says very clearly, no, that's why Yehuda ben Beseira didn't have to go up to Yerushalayim to bring the Korban Pesach. That's why Tosfos even was bothered with Korban Pesach. He was only talking about Oil Regel. Minchas Chinuch says it can't be, and the Minchas Chinuch leaves us with a major kasha, and that is at the end of the day, what's the difference between picking yourself up and going to another city to be Mekai in the midst of Korban Pesach versus buying Dalad Mina before Sukkot? If you don't buy Dalad Mina before Sukkot, it's going to be impossible for you to be Mekai in the mitzvah. And it just seems too unreasonable, too unlikely to think that there's no obligation to buy the Dalad Mina before Sukkot. It's like this, you'll be able to be Mekai in the mitzvah. So, the Budapest Rosh Hashiva, Reb Chaim Alter Berkowitz, Hashem Yimkom Damo, he asked this question to Rabbi Shua Mendel. He said, there's no Esrogim, you can't find anything, but the word is that in Budapest you could find it. And the question is, do Yidden now have an obligation to pick themselves up and go to Budapest for Yontif to bring it? So Rabbi Shua Mendel sat down and he said, at first glance, without Svarim, your Shaila is the Chayodim Shaila. And by the way, the Chayodim Shaila is really a machloikis between the Noida B'Yehuda in his Slach and between the Minchas Chinuch and the Minchas Chinuch. So he says, really what it boils down to is that Shaila. And then he went on and he was mefalfel, literally simon after simon after simon, with rayas and harifos, and trying to be machriya between the Tzlach and the Noid of Yehuda. It will save this for part two. There'll be a part two, Yetz Hashem. But just to skip to the very end of the tshuva. So at the very end, Rabbi Shua Mendel told Rabbi Chaim Alter Berkowitz, Hashem Yimkom Damoy, he says, here's my psak. My psak is that you're certainly not obligated to pick yourself up and go into another city. For sure not. It's a Noid of Yehuda. You're for sure not obligated to do it. Erev Yontif, zichanat. Maybe Cholomoyd, if it's possible, it would be a different Shiloh. But Erev Yontif, not. But he said at the end, but besides, there's another thing you have to factor into consideration. Because at the end of the day, there's a mitzvah called V'samachta B'chagecha. Right, there's a mitzvah called V'samachta B'chagecha. Yid has a mitzvah to be B'simcha on Yontif. And the Gemara says, Noshim, how do women have the mitzvah of Simcha? The Gemara says, "Bailo Mesamcha." A husband has an obligation to be Mesamech her husband. And the truth is that he brings, Chazal say, "Kol Adam She'ein Lo Isha Shari B'Lo Simcha." And if there's a mitzvah of Simcha and Yontif, that means the real perfect Simcha, the Shleimus HaSimcha, is for a person to be together with his family. And he said, if the Shleimus of Simcha is to be with your family, and Befrat Isha Bailo Mesamcha, so you have a mitzvah of Simcha's Yontif to be home. So if you're going to pick yourself up now and you're going to go to another city, you're going to go to Budapest. So you'll be Mekayim the mitzvah of Lekachtam Lechem B'Yom Rishon. But it's going to come with an invoice. You know what the expense is? You have a mitzvah to be B'Simcha. It's going to come at the expense of a Samachta B'Chagecha. So we can debate whether a person before Pesach or before Yontif has an obligation to put himself in a matziv where he'll be able to be Mekayim a mitzvah on Yontif. Good, that's a Shiloh. It's the Chayadim's question, and it's a machloek between the Noid B'Yehuda and the Tzlach and the Michas Chinuch Mitzvah. It's a Shiloh. But one thing's for sure. For me to be mevatel a mitzvah by picking myself up before Yontif, it's like this, I'll be able to mekayim a different, that for sure makes no sense. Why would you do that? So he says, here's the bottom line. If you have a mishpacha, it's pashut, he said, you stay with the mishpacha, and that's what you're supposed to do. And he signed off his tshuva. He said, divrei yedidai hadorish shalom umetzapa l'rachmei shamayim merubin al sheiris am Yisrael. This is writing this tshuva in real time, the context of Erev Sukkot. But that was the tshuva. So just to conclude with one hergish, and that is, you know, it's amazing, because at the end of the day, what was the psak of Rabbi Shua Mendel Arenberg? Stay where you are. You know why? because it's a mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. I want to ask you, what kind of Simchas Yontif was it? Seriously, this is Simchas Yontif? The Nazis are occupying, the world is about to come to an end, literally. And Rabbi Shmuel Mendel said, a Yid, it's Yontif. And a Yontif, you have to leave a Simcha. I would think that Simchas Yontif is not on the table anymore, unfortunately. Because impossible to be with Simchas Yontif. And all you need is Dalad Minim. Dalad Minim, a Dalad Minim, a Dalad Minim. And you think, right, the Vilna Gaon said that Simchas Yontif is the hardest mitzvah in the Torah. Right, this is the hardest mitzvah in the Torah on a good day. So obviously, in these darkest times, how you be making the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif? But this is the way a God will saw the world, very differently than, you know, the rest of us. And that is, there's a mitzvah of v'samachta b'chagecha, and you're going to work on the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif, al yidav zayim b'simcha, even in the darkest of times, and to pick yourself up and be mevatel mitzvah Simchas Yontif b'shleimus. He didn't say you can't have Simchas Yontif, but the shleimus of Simchas Yontif is when you're with your family, to be mevatel that, to be mekayim the mitzvah, lekachtam lecham b'yom rishon, is a krumah cheshbon. It's the wrong thing to do. Either way, that was the psak of Rabbi Shua Mendel. Like I said, this is part one. Bezrat Hashem, we'll revisit this with oid, v'oid, v'oid.